New Spirit FM. Christian hit music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Good evening to all listeners. This is Eben, and we thank God. It's always a pleasure to come your way Saturday evenings. It's always a good time to be with you for 1 hour. We are living in interesting times. If you look at the world news, the tension is increasing. Looking at what's happening in the Middle East and Russia and Ukraine and all that is happening. So let's look at a few news items, and then we'll get into the continuation of the series on deception that has been on for 4 weeks now. All right. Okay, so the first news, the US FDA warns potential bird flu pandemic that could kill 1 in 4 Americans. You know, these people, before they start warning, things are really behind the scenes, things are happening. In a recent Senate committee briefing, Dr. Robert Califf, the head of the FDA, announced proactive measures being implemented in preparation for a potential bird flu pandemic that could prove deadly to a significant portion of the infected population. He highlighted that while the risk of transmission to humans remains low, the agency is not taking any chances, according to Daily Mail. And there's been one case in Texas that was in March earlier this year, and that's what they are monitoring and all that. All right, still on pandemics, this week AstraZeneca announced that they are withdrawing. So the AstraZeneca withdraws COVID vaccine worldwide after admitting it can cause rare blood clots. So these people, AstraZeneca is withdrawing its COVID-19 vaccine worldwide months after the pharma giant admitted the drug could cause very rare but life-threatening injuries. The British-Swedish drug maker has already withdrawn its EU marketing authorization for the vaccine, branded Vaxzevria, since 2021. The authorization is the approval to market a drug in the EU's member states. The company said the withdrawal was due to a surplus of available updated vaccines against the new variant of the novel coronavirus. The application to withdraw the vaccine from EU was made on March 5th and came into effect May 7th. The Telegraph reported that the AstraZeneca recently admitted that its vaccine, initially called Covishield, could cause infrequent side effects like blood clots and low platelet counts. The admission came after the company was slapped with a class action lawsuit in UK, which claimed that the vaccine has caused deaths and severe injuries and sought damages up to £100 million for about 50 victims. Let me repeat that part again, in case you didn't hear it. The admission came after the company was slapped with a class action lawsuit in the UK, which claimed that the vaccine had caused deaths and severe injuries, and sought damages up to £100 million for about 50 victims. It admitted that the AstraZeneca vaccine can, in sporadic cases, cause CTS. The causal mechanism is not known, AstraZeneca said in court documents in February, the newspaper reported. CTS is thrombosis with thrombocytopenia. thrombocytopenia syndrome. Pardon me, but you know, characterized by blood clots and low blood platelet count in humans. So in Ghana, who is making the case for those who have been severely affected after taking these vaccines and the side effects, including deaths as well? You know, it's as if our case, nobody cares about it. And indeed, nobody cares, because this week we had the Ghana Health Service making a press conference talking about this. They were more interested in saying that, oh, it's for commercial reasons why they are withdrawing this. And as if the side effect one is an irrelevant issue. And you see, if you have your health service as a country not concerned about the lives of the citizenry, but we are concerned about a foreign company's business transactions and its withdrawal, and we're talking as if, you know, this world is something else these days. Because I remember watching one report, and a foreign report online, and the scientists were saying that we are in the times where now you cannot trust scientists to be sincere with the outcomes of some things, because COVID has shown us that you cannot trust science ultimately. Oh yes, and this is one clear example. You know, when people were giving the red flags all over the place, including on this program and all that, it's like, oh, conspiracy theories and all that. 3 years, 4 years down the line, here we are. Today I was reading one document for Pfizer's very long page, almost 9 pages, side effects and all that. And so, like, when you read some of these documents and these reports, scientific reports, and ask yourself, why are we still doing vaccination programs? Why are we still doing it? I mean, for what? What is the real intent of these people? God help us. All right, so we go on. Enough of the health one. We have Putin orders nuclear weapon drills, citing provocative statements. Putin he's really been a thorn in the flesh of the West, and he's been sworn in for his fifth term now, and that's something else. The West is not comfortable at all, and the war in Ukraine seems to be prolonging and dragging. Ukraine is feeling the heat, and the West has spent so much, billions upon billions of dollars. NATO nations have sent their ammunition to the point where one senior NATO commander was saying that their reserves, their military armor for some of the nations in NATO, that's Europe largely, they've reached bottom low. I mean, and sometimes you ask yourself, to what end, you know? But that's it. So this headline, the Russians have started military drills of nuclear weapon drilling, and that's quite a serious thing, because, well, one question that comes up is, will this generation see a nuclear war? Would we see a nuclear war? And the way things are going, well, anything is possible. Okay, so the head of UK armed forces warns that the world tensions are coming to the boil. So the head of British armed forces has warned that simmering tensions worldwide are coming to the boil. It says the Admiral Sir Tony Radakin, the chief of the defense staff, cited belligerent North Korea, a more assertive China, and last October's barbaric acts in Israel as some of the conflicts that have inflamed hostilities around the world. Sir Tony said the Ash Center exchange in Washington. He quotes, "All around the world, long simmering tensions feel like they are coming to the boil," unquote. He added, "The world is undeniably becoming much more dangerous. It has gone from being competitive to contested, and now, as we saw from Iran's act against Israel, it's increasingly combative." He also said another challenge was the axis of evasion between Moscow, Beijing, and Tehran, which has them collude in subverting oil sanctions by creating an alternative market for sanctioned oil. The speech came 2 hours, 24 hours after Putin was sworn in again as Russia's president for the fifth time. And during his inauguration speech in Grand Kremlin Palace, Putin blamed the West for triggering the invasion in Ukraine and said that Russia needed to stay strong. All right, then we go to the Middle East, Israel issues. Netanyahu says Israel will stand alone if necessary after Joe Biden threatens to withhold weapons. So Israeli Prime Minister released a video message on Thursday vowing that Israel will stand alone to defeat Hamas if necessary after President Biden threatened to withhold weapon shipments to the Jewish state should Netanyahu proceed with the invasion of Rafah. Netanyahu echoed 1948 Israeli War of Independence in his remarks, saying that despite a weapons embargo on Israel, Israelis had fought and defeated the Arab nations who attacked the nascent Jewish state thanks to their bravery and unity. Today, we are much stronger, the prime minister said. We are determined and we are united to defeat our enemies and those who want to destroy us. If we need to stand alone, we will stand alone, Netanyahu continued. Netanyahu's remarks comes a day after Biden said he would not supply Israel with weapons to attack Rafah, Hamas's last stronghold in Gaza, over concerns about more than 1 million civilians sheltering there. And then yesterday at the United Nations General Assembly, there was an overwhelming backing for Palestinian bid to become a full UN member. So the United Nations General Assembly on Friday overwhelmingly backed a Palestinian bid to become a full UN member by recognizing it as qualified to join and recommending the UN Security Council to reconsider the matter favorably. The vote by the 198-member General Assembly was a global survey of support for the Palestinian bid to become a full UN member, a move that would effectively recognize a Palestinian state after the U.S. vetoed in the UN Security Council last month. The Assembly adopted a resolution with 143 votes in favor and 9 against, including the U.S. and Israel. While 25 countries abstained, it does not give the Palestinians a full membership, but recognizes them as qualified to join. And Ghana, as usual, we always vote in favor of the Palestinians at the UN. We voted in favor of their independence as well. All right, then we have Joe Biden faces bipartisan push over threats to cut off weapons to Israel. And, you know, I've said it on this program countless times that eventually Israel will be alone because they will lose all their friends. And we are beginning to see it. I mean, gradually, it's one stage at a time. And little by little, we get to the point where they will not have any support from the West. They will be alone. But Netanyahu long knows that eventually this will happen. So that's why he was saying that they are ready to stand alone should that arise. And this week, there was another attack, potential attack, on a pastor whilst preaching, this time in the U.S. You know, last month, the bishop in Australia, I've forgotten his name, there's Bishop Mary, was attacked whilst he was preaching with a knife. This time it was a gun, but it's only a miracle. It's clearly a miracle. I mean, because if you watch the video, the man aimed at the pastor. I mean, the pastor trying to dodge, but he fired the gun just locked, and he was overpowered, and the police came and the gun was seized and all. He was arrested. But clearly, it was a miracle that saved the pastor because the gun was aimed fully at him, close range. And for a miraculous reason, the gun didn't fire. It got locked. Thank God for such. You know, I saw one article today. The question was, should you worship with one eye closed because of security concerns? So it's like, you know, You see, we are going to hear more and see more of these things as time progresses, because the hatred for Christians, you know, it's increasing. I mean, I've said it, that we are seeing it against the Jews now, the anti-Semitism on the streets of US, UK, and elsewhere, campuses in the US and all that. Soon after, after some time, you see, this whole hatred is, you see, it looks on the surface like anti-Israel, anti-Jews, but the real hatred is anti-God. But, you know, for now, it's through the proxy of God. You are the people of God. You claim God gave you the land type of thing. So we hate you, the agents of God, the children of God on earth here. And by extension, eventually Christians will also be added to this hatred, because you see, it's a spiritual thing. Because if you look at the way people are behaving when they are protesting against them, you can see that the people are fully demonized. It's just as if they've been overpowered, or they've been, sorry, empowered by something. But I mean, clearly they've been empowered by demons to misbehave and do whatever they are doing. And that hatred clearly is spiritual. It's not just normal. It's not normal. And you see, America's decline, it's just amazing how a country can just go down the spiral just like that. Boy Scouts America changed their name, and this is sparking fierce backlash and criticism. On Tuesday, the Boy Scouts of America announced that they were changing their name to Scouting America, which they say will reflect the organization's ongoing commitment to welcome every youth and family in America to experience the benefits of scouting. The name change is expected to go into effect in February 8, 2025. And this is meant to accommodate, everyone. So, the thing, if they say Boy Scouts, that means it's gender bias to only boys. So now, Scouting America. So it's open-ended now. Trans or whatever, all the BBQIT, whatever character you define yourself, whatever gender fluidity you move with, all of them are welcome to the Scouts, Scouting America. And they, as we talk now, they have several billions of dollars in fines. I mean, court cases where they have to, I mean, they are being sued by several former scouts who were abused sexually. And, you know, it's just too pathetic how scouts, Boy Scouts, which used to be a very good thing, has been turned into a very suspect. I mean, it's just bad. It's as if society now cannot, it's like immorality is now a standard. Where, seriously, I mean, I wonder the type of parents who even allow their children to still be part of the scouting way now, because of the way they behaved and things are getting on. Then, in the U.S. again, Illinois, state of Illinois, there is this school where they've implemented gender support process and plan. And it's being criticized by parents because their agenda is to hide any gender transition by a student. So if a boy says, I want to become a girl, the school has put in a policy. This policy is to ensure that the teachers hide it from the parents. Unless the child himself is willing to tell the parents, the rule of the school is to hide it and make it a secret till the transition is complete. And it's like, wow. You know, this generation is pathetic, because parents are just looking on and they see their children transform from boy to girl or girl to boy. And you know, there are several cases of people transitioning, and then after transitioning they want to detransition. But you know, sometimes after the surgeries and all that has been done, you cannot get back to where you were again. And you have cases where the children now blame the doctors for not telling them the consequences. They blame the schools, the teachers who encourage them on, to cheer them on to do it. It was a good thing. And now after they do it, you know, the devil is good at deceiving, tricking, you know. and see you are coerced, deceived, tricked into whatever. Oh, it's a good thing, it's a good thing. Be yourself, as they say. So, yes, they encourage you. You do it. And after you've done it, realize that there's no satisfaction because that's not who you are. Your real identity is not what you are portraying it to be. If God created you a boy, you are a boy. I mean, there's nothing you can do to change that. If a girl, you are a girl. Nothing, is it so? This deception of you can change your gender from boy to girl or vice versa, it's very unfortunate. And they do it, and the statistics are very alarming regarding the suicide rate amongst transition people. I mean, so they transition and then they become the transgender community has one of the highest suicide rates because they are not, you see, there's no joy in becoming what you are not. And that's one of the strongest or greatest deceptions you can think of, that, oh, if you do it, you'll be fine. But you do it and realize it's the worst thing you've made. Actually, some still go ahead and detransition and come back incomplete to whichever position they were in. So sometimes after they've lost their breast and changed their private, you know, genitals and all the stuff, then I don't know what this generation is really seeking to be, but it's very unfortunate indeed. All right, and then we have Christian teacher in UK appeals the ban from profession for misgendering students. So a Christian teacher in the United Kingdom who was banned from his profession for allegedly misgendering a trans-identifying student in 2017 said that God has sustained him through his ordeal and that he remains hopeful. Joshua Sutcliffe, 32, told Christian Post that he faced a hearing before his country's High Court last week over his appeal of the ban that the UK's Teaching Regulation Authority, TRA, slapped on him in May 2023. The Professional Conduct Panel of the TRA, which regulates the teaching profession in UK, recommended that Sutcliffe be banned from teaching for at least 2 years for bringing the profession into disrepute. Bringing the profession into dispute. And what's the offense? Calling a boy a girl or a girl. I mean, that's misgendering. So if you say I should call you a boy, you're a girl, but I said I should call you a boy, and I still went ahead and called you a girl, this is what brings teaching into disrepute. Think, bro, no more can, no more, no more can. Man, this is the crazy world we live in. So according to the legal counsel at the London-based non-profit Christian Concern, which has represented many high-profile religious liberty cases in the UK. I mean, this is a friend's brother went to the UK and not long ago, a few years ago, but I mean, he was employed as a teacher. And you know, yeah, coming from Ghana, this boy, you are boy, girl type class. If you are a boy, you are a boy. That's what he knows from Ghana. So he called the boy, I mean, the name, this transgender thing, you know, he wasn't too, you know, he doesn't know as it is. So he called apparently the wrong gender for the person. And he was reported to the headmaster. They had to call him, warn him. That was his last warning. If he repeats it, I mean, he will lose his job and all that. It's like, so he called the sister, who is a very close friend. And she was telling me how the brother was saying, hey, it's a real super. It's like, you just see how this is complete madness. Complete madness. But, I mean, that's the world. You see that this is a boy, but he says, I'm a girl. If you call me a boy, it's a crime. You can lose your job. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult, but... Well, I mean, it's serious. It's serious. Whoever thought that this is how the end times will be. And, you know, you look at some of the news, you look at these reports, you look at how the world has turned into something else. Christianity is turned upside down. I mean, everything is just... I mean, we are at a point where you must really know the God you are serving to survive as a Christian in these times we live in. And our survival mode largely will depend on the word of God. And you see, because the devil knows that it's a foundation, that's why he's really busy deceiving, launching deceptive strategies and attacks. And it seems this afternoon, this late afternoon, I was asking myself this. Is it that some pastors have intentionally now decided to, I don't know whether they intentionally doing it. Okay, some are, of course, intentionally. Some too, they are being overtaken by whichever spirits to do what they are doing. Because you keep hearing strange things coming from some pulpits, and it's like, so where's your Susufini? Where from? Of all the things in the Bible, you can't get anything to preach than to say this controversial thing, and then what? So it's as if, I don't know whether they are enjoying being controversial, they are enjoying just saying things that is clearly meant to just cause problems in the body of Christ, or just confuse their listeners or their followers. I don't know why, whatever is going through their minds, but this is the season. You see, that's why we should be alert and have the word in us. That's why we are talking about this deception, because it's now something else. You hear something and it's like, and they say it with so much boldness that if you are weak in the word yourself, or you're a baby Christian, you'll be convinced, because it's like you have some aura of respect, some level of respect for these people, and it's like when they say it with the confidence and the boldness, it's like, oh, okay. I mean, a pastor says something and you see people, the wows and the clapping, and it's like, so what is it? I mean, today I heard one saying that God does not direct us through dreams. He doesn't direct his children through dreams. And it's like, when you hear such a thing, then you ask yourself, so when Joel 2 talks about in the last days, people dreams and visions, I mean, what did Joel mean? Or what does it mean that, you see, so if you say God doesn't direct his children, talk to his children, or direct his children through dreams, I mean, to what end? And then what? So why say this when you know that? I mean, that's exactly not the case. Because many, many, many people have been directed by God through dreams in our lives now, in our time now. People have had dreams that brought deliverance to them, that saved them from accidents, saved them from something, or give them an advice about how to go about something, who to marry. I mean, people, there are countless, if I'm to open the phone lines now, people to share dreams which has transformed their lives positively. There are several, we have several calls. So if you say that God does not direct his children through dreams, I mean, is it that you just want to say something for saying sake? You see, so these are some of the things, the reasons why we should have the word of God in us, so that at least whenever they throw the bomb, you know that, oh, it contradicts this part of the Bible. There's something that, no, it doesn't align well. But if you don't have the word in you don't even know any verse that talks about dreams or visions in the word of God, you would be the one who will be clapping and saying, wow, wow, wow. But, well, like what he's saying is out of context. It doesn't fit. So this is what is happening. I'll be back after this short break. One of the new songs from CC Winehouse.
Jesus comes, let today be the day.
Any messages for me?
Yes, Mr. Evans. Clyde called. He can't make the meeting. God called. He wants you to get a hold of him. Bob can't have lunch, and Jim says there's a problem with the Brax account.
Wait, what was that?
The numbers don't add up.
No, before that.
Oh, Bob can't have lunch. He's allergic to seafood.
No, before that, something about God?
God called. He wants you to get a hold of him.
God called?
Yes.
On the phone?
Yes, he's been trying to get a hold of you, and you haven't responded to any of his messages.
Well, I've been busy.
Of course, sir.
Well, I have been. I've been at meetings, important ones.
This is God. You should return his call.
Did he leave a number?
I don't think God has a number. I think it's more like one of those voice-activated things. You pray and the line is open.
Did he say what he wanted?
Just a reminder that he's still there, and he's hoping you will get in touch with him soon.
How long has it been since you've prayed? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
All right, welcome back. This is Eben. The program is Issues of Life. You're on Spirit 88.3 FM, Kumasi, Ghana. Greetings to listeners elsewhere across the world through the internet. All right, so the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about deception. And I believe in the times we find ourselves now, this is one very important series to look at, because it's obvious that the times are not the same again. And you look, the world, the church, since COVID, coming post-COVID, we are seeing a certain shift in many things. And
one of the things we are seeing is an acceleration in the decline of church doctrine, churches, attendance, low. People are becoming lukewarm. It's as if something, a certain wind is blowing over believers. So people are just not interested in spiritual things. They are just lackadaisical. I mean, a lot is happening. But I believe these are all signals of warnings. The warnings we're given, the love of many will grow cold, many will fall away. All these things we're warned about. So if you are seeing it, it's important you re-energize yourself and quickly put yourself in line not to fall victim for such. So we are going to continue this series, and we are talking about the fourth key today, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Truth. And I like it from this verse where it says, John 14:17, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And then in John 14:26, it goes on to say that, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, underline, teach you all things. Teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Spirit of Truth, which is the Holy Spirit, is our teacher, is a teacher. And you know, when you read Ephesians 6:13-14, where it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So the belt of truth, which is the word of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, who is our teacher, we really need him now more than ever before in his teaching role and teaching capacity. You know, oftentimes we just assume we don't need someone to, we are okay, we can sort ourselves out, you know. But he's ready to teach everyone who is ready to be his students. And the question is, are we ready to avail ourselves to be taught? So we must not think it's only pastors and, you know, leaders who have the ability to be taught by God. He says all, without exclusion. If we make ourselves available, he will also teach us. And, you know, when a preacher is using the Spirit of God, you also have the same Spirit in you. So that's the same Holy Spirit is what we all have as believers. So far as we are in right standing, we have the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit. So why do we make it look like, oh, it's for some people who can be taught by God, we are just to follow whatever they tell us? You see, and it's this mindset that has also emboldened some of the bad ones to keep deceiving, and also will not make it possible for their members to grow in the word and the Lord, because they know that keeping them down there as ignorant members makes it easier for you to manipulate them, twisting and breaking the neck of the word, and then just telling them anything, and they'll be saying wow, 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 and clapping for you. And you know, so there are pastors and there are leaders who enjoy having members who are spiritually ignorant, biblically bankrupt, so that they can continue deceiving them. So there are some who will not even do anything sort of like Bible teaching of any sort for questions to come that would expose his whatever or his doctrine, wrong doctrine, or questions that can put him on his toes or embarrass him or something. So there will be no teaching, is not part of, there will be no teaching at all. Just preach, let me preach, tell you, finish, we pack and go. You see, so they are not being equipped in the real word. It's all about just what they just hear in preaching. That's all they know. there's nothing like Sunday school, there's nothing like, you know, Bible teaching, nothing that really brings us into, let's get into the Bible, discuss, ask questions. No such thing happens. You see, so they enjoy this ability to stay on top so that they can manipulate. And it's very unfortunate, because we should be teaching the word of God. We should be teaching. And see, teaching means that then you have your efforts is targeted at people to know more of the word. To know more of the word. But we have very little teaching these days in a lot of churches. So we have a lot of believers who are shallow and know next to nothing. Know next to nothing, because they are just floating. You see, if even you don't have a good teaching system or at your church, but you yourself, you are even willing to be taught by other means, the Holy Spirit being your teacher, guiding you, teaching you. You see, when we open the word of God and we invite him to teach us, he would come. I mean, it's as simple as that. When we invite him, please, as I come to learn your word, teach me your word, give me understanding, illuminate, you know, give me the insight, you would experience his presence in guiding you and teaching you. But we are not even taking advantage of it. You see, he guiding us and teaching us is one of his mandates, as he's been assigned to us. But how many believers are taking advantage of this divine opportunity to have the Spirit of God teaching you? You know, things like meditate the word day and night. It is one of the key things with meditation of the word, is this is one of the opportunities where the word becomes alive. As we meditate, the Holy Spirit teaches us, talks to us. As we think about it, he reflects, he gives us insights. You see, but how many believers even meditate on the word? You see, so I mean, Joshua 1:8 is clear about it. You know, the word of God is something that the more you spend time in with the right spirit, the more you will grow, the more you would know God, the more your eyes will be opened. So in as much as we are not spending time, we are not ready to spend time, we are not ready to do what we have to do to grow in the word and know God more and all that, we'll continue to be anemic spiritually. And that is where the danger comes in, because as any believer who is not a real student of the word, growing in the word, is exposed to this, I mean, and is subject to be deceived, because the word of God is what is our defense, our foundation, our stronghold. So when you have little of it in you, what is left? What is your stronghold? Whatever you are told, I mean, you just accept it. I mean, because you don't know any other thing except what you are being told. You see, it's just like a language. You don't, a language that you don't know that language, a strange language, Swahili, whatever. And then someone says it, you know. It's like, what, when a person says the word, you can't challenge, because you don't know. He says this is the meaning of the word. Ah, if you say so, we take it like that. You see, so that's how it is when it comes to the word of God. When you don't have the word in you yourself, and you don't have an interest in even knowing it even afterwards, but you just listen to whatever they tell you and you take it just like that, then my brother, my sister, you are subject to, you are a potential victim of deception. Because if you go by this attitude in these evil days, then you would fall one day to a schemer and a liar and a deceiver one day, because I mean, you have no defense. Oh yes, because if anything you hear, you just accept it without questioning or without ensuring that there's a backing, biblical backing for it, But you just accept it as it is because a pastor says so, so you, let's take it as it is. No. I mean, you just can't go by that way. But that's how a lot of believers are operating by these days. You have people going to church. They won't even go with any notebook. I mean, one of the saddest spectacles you can see is, you know, you see the youth just thronging to church, just holding their phone. That is it. Even normal Bible, forget it. They won't even hold it. They'll tell you it's in the Word of God, is on the phone and all that. But you see, you cannot convince me that in as much as you have the phone, Bibles and all that, it's good for some instances. Yes, no doubt about it. But if we are going to church, your focus itself should be the Word of God. But you are holding the phone whilst you are reading, then Facebook notification comes, you are reading, YouTube notification comes, SMS comes, this comes. I mean, how do you tell me that you can concentrate? You see, so we are just being distracted by these things, a lot of things. So when even the Bible, you can't hold the Bible to go to church. You don't ask for notebook there, forget it, because in a normal service, you can see you have less than 10% who bother to write notes in church. You tomorrow, when you go to church, that's if you are amongst, depending on which side of the divide you are, notes writer or just observer. You look around and see tomorrow when you go to church, look at the percentage of people who would have a pen and a notebook, or at least be typing something in the notes pad or whatever, on the phone or whatever, at least making the effort to put down something. You look at the number of people who will be doing that. Less than 10% of the congregation. Less than 10%. You see, so you realize we are not ready to even learn as believers. Most believers are not ready to learn. It's just like we are just filling the space, just going to please our conscience that we've also gone to church on a Sunday. So let's just go and occupy some hours on a Sunday to please our conscience that we are still believers, we are still in the faith, we've not backslided, we give our offering, we pay our tithes if necessary, we have to pay and all that, like the day, end of the month, okay, so I have to go, like, and pay tithes. I mean, that's the reason why people, you see, so it's just like we are just pleasing our conscience in doing some of these things. But not necessarily that Sunday I'm going to church, I'm going to learn whatever we are taught, I'll write it down. Oh, no. You see, so we are just operating autopilot, just moving. So, you see, when you move on autopilot, it's a dangerous mode because any uncertainties that comes, there's no stability. Oh, yes, you hear this, it will blow you. You hear that, it will blow you. You hear this. So you are just shaky. You are on shaky grounds when you move in autopilot. But we cannot do so in these dangerous times when deception is rearing its head in a very ugly way. That's why we should be alert. We should be alert and allow the Holy Spirit to be our guide, to direct us, to teach us. You see, there are instances where, you see, when the Holy Spirit is teaching you and you don't have the Word in you, you realize He would give you understanding. You pick this verse. Oh, okay. He gives you insight as you think about it. He communicates with you. He gives you, this is applicable this way in your life and all. You see, we should get to that point where we allow Him to teach us. Allow ourselves to be students. You see, because if we put our trust only in men, then we can run into problems should the men we are putting our trust in also decide to disappoint. And if we are to go by the words of Jesus, which he says, many shall be deceived. There will be many false prophets. Many will be deceived. You see, when you hear this keyword, many, running through deception, all the times, I mean, when Jesus is talking about deception and he's using many to describe the personalities involved, those deceiving are many, those to be deceived are many. it should give us a cause of worry and concern, because that means we'll get to a point in time where majority of the spiritual leaders around us may not be people we can put our trust in. I'm not saying that Jesus says many. If he says many, it's many. I mean, if you read Matthew 24:11, it's clear about it. You see, so when you have Jesus saying it clearly, 24:11 says that, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. So if many, by any definition, is the majority, many is many. So that means a time will come that we are going to have many all around. Many, many, many believers, preachers who we hear will not be telling us the real truth. They will not be telling us the real truth. You see, so this is why we should have our own source of, a reliable teaching source, that is the Holy Spirit himself. But then the church one and radio programs like this and others are just top up, backup system, just helping you extra growth and all that, top up. But you should have your own source of growth directly through the Holy Spirit, constantly plugged in, constant power supply, so that you are always being fed yourself. You yourself, you are growing as a believer. You have your own growth movements. You are reading, you are studying, you are meditating. The Holy Spirit is teaching you. You have your own knowledge based on what the Holy Spirit is teaching you through the Word as well. There are a lot of believers who cannot say that they are on their own. The Holy Spirit is teaching them on their own, because they've not even made the attempt to even open the Bible to spend 10, 20, 15, 30 minutes. No, they don't have time for that. They don't have time for that. So how can he then teach you? If you don't have time for your teacher, how can a teacher teach you? He can't, because you're not ready for him. So he cannot impart knowledge to you. And that's how we are behaving sometimes with these things. We need him, but we also act as if, well, we can do without him. And once we showcase ourselves as we are independent, we are good enough to go on our own, then we silence him. He will not force himself on us. No, he won't. But then we are on our own. And when we are being deceived, we are on our own. Because the one who would have, you see, when the deception is coming, and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the Word in you and all that, something, you see, as soon as you hear the thing, it's like it just triggers an alert system in you that red flag, rejects. This is not acceptable. No, this is not, no, this is wrong. There's a verse. You see, as soon as you hear it, it should prompt you, something should prompt in you that no, this explanation is not right, or this doctrine is not right, this statement is wrong, biblically wrong, or something. There should be a red flag. You see, and this red flag is the Holy Spirit that is alerting you that, hey, be careful, be warned, be alert. You see, so you are able to defend or stand, and you become deception proof, because you've been given an alert already in the Spirit. So you know that on what this person is saying, it doesn't align with the Word of God. He's deceiving, or he's twisting the scriptures, he's wrongly dividing the Word of truth and all that. You see, so we need him as our guide. A guide is not necessarily teaching us alone, but also to protect us from being deceived. So he, because as I said, sir, there are some deceptive doctrines which, if you are not very careful, you may fall for it, because some may be so, there are some things that you hear which may be so dicey that except the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, it becomes a bit slippery and confusing. But when you have him in you and you have the Word in you, it becomes a clear cut thing. You see, so we need him in these times. He will guide us into the truth, into all truth. He will guide us. He will lead us. He will teach us. We need him. So we should renew our minds if we have not been engaging him and allowing him to be guide and our teacher. And going forward, let's open up, because these are the times when we need the Holy Spirit the most. I mean, I don't think there's been a generation like us that is so exposed to whatever we are seeing as this generation, because clearly the description of a generation that will be in the end time, this generation seems to be fulfilling almost all actually. So clearly, if this generation is seeing the signals, the warnings, the red flags, then why are we not also being careful about the warning about many deceivers will come and many will be deceived? That should then be a caution for us that then we can also be potential victims of deception. So what should we do? We have to guard ourselves, protect ourselves. That's why we are doing a program like this, a series like this. So we talk about deception because it's happening. I mean, it's happening. You see it every day. I mean, YouTube preaching, various preachings, and you hear some things and it's like, I mean, where from this? Clearly off. Off. And it's becoming worrying, because when you look at the comments by people, and it's like, what's happening? It's like people are just defending anything and everything. Anything and everything. They are defending. It's a revelation. You know, but a revelation which is contrary to the word of God. I mean, how do you call it a revelation? Revelation of what? You see, but this is how people are more accustomed to glorifying men than even going to the Bible to cross-check what the men are saying. So it's, our papa has said it, that is it. So they won't even sit down and open the word of God themselves. Okay, what papa said, is it really exactly what the Bible says? No, they won't do that. They have no desire, they have no interest in that. What they've heard is enough, and that's what they will move with. You see, so the deception is what is driving them. They are being deceived, and they are not even interested in stopping or protecting themselves. So thank you for tuning in, because for those who listen to this, are listening to this series, are interested in safeguarding themselves against any form of deception that is coming, and that we are what we are also seeing. And I believe the more we spend time in the Word of God, the more we allow the Holy Spirit, we invite Him to be our guide, the more we will grow spiritually, the more He would show us, give us understanding and show us what is coming, teach us. When we open the Word of God, He would illuminate things for us. He would open our eyes to see more things beyond this ordinary black or red letters that we see on the white paper. He would give us better understanding. And this is what we need as one of the keys as well, as we resist, be resistant, anti-proof. We ensure that we are foolproof when it comes to deception. And I believe God will help us as we allow ourselves to be students of the Word. So this is Eben. God willing, next week you'll be coming your way. This is recorded. It will be uploaded to the website spiritissues.info and the Telegram group. Good night, and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.